I have good news for you. Who could use a little good news today? I know I could. You know, when I mentioned that a couple of minutes ago, who's struggling because of the darkness? I did so well because the Lord blessed us with an extra long summer. I mean, I have my boat out in October, if you can believe that. That almost never happens. One year, several years back, I forgot to winterize my boat in September. In the middle of September, it got down to 19 degrees two nights in a row. Right here, cracked the block on my boat. I had to replace the engine. It was terrible. Not this year. It hasn't gotten down that cold. In fact, it's still kind of in the 60s, isn't it? And so I've been doing pretty good till just about last week. And then the darkness rolled in. I don't know if it's the rain so much as the darkness, but I just know I have to hit this season like a truck hitting a steep hill. I have to get it going as fast as I can so I can make it up the hill until it bogs down. Hopefully, I make it to the top, roll down the other side. Anybody relate to what I'm talking about? So I know one thing that I need during this time is I need the Word of God. I've just been in the last week, not just in preparation for this, but I've been studying all sorts of things in the Old Testament and just listening to the prophetic words of the Holy Spirit and the things that he said on a regular basis all throughout the generations. He is such a faithful God. Everything he says, it comes true, and he's always there for his people. Amen? And so I think it's important for us. I ask this question every once in a while. I look in the mirror on a Sunday morning and I go, why in the world would people come and listen to you talk every week? And I said, man, I don't even think I want to hear myself talk every week. But I know this is the difference. Is it's not just because I have something to say to you that you've never heard before. But just in the same way you get up and you have breakfast every morning or you have lunch. There are some things that we need to do on a regular basis because we're more than just physical beings. Everybody say amen. We are spiritual beings. We need to feed that spiritual part of us. And just like you can't say, well, I've heard that preacher preach, I don't need to listen to him again. That's like saying, well, I ate once, why do I need to do it again? It's because we're a new person today. And this is a new day. And you're different and I'm different. And we need to just avail ourselves to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, fill me up today. Amen. Jesus said it. I'll keep doing it till you say amen. Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, or woman if you are one, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. He is the one that fills us up. He's the one that keeps us going. And so we need a relationship with him that isn't just a flash in the pan. How many know that life is not a sprint? It's not even a marathon because it goes long after the marathon is over. It's a lifelong relationship with the Lord. So if you've got a Bible, would you turn in it to the book of John chapter 7? I said it my way. Now let me tell you how Jesus says it, because he says it even better. I also said this to my wife last night. Who could ever imagine that they could add something to the words of Jesus? He was the greatest that ever did it. And so I just want to sit down with you this morning and have a devotional. Can we just open up our hearts to the Word of God today and just allow the Lord to speak to us? So it says in John chapter 7, verse 37, he says, on the last and greatest day of the festival, I'm going to stop right there, and I promise I'm not going to stop every time I read one phrase. But I always have to ask this question, what festival? We don't always know in the Bible when it says the festival, because there were several that were pilgrimage feasts. There was Passover, and there was one that was called Sukkot, which means booths. And it was it's still celebrated today, but the festival of Sukkot was one of the great pilgrimage feasts. And everybody would come down to Jerusalem, and it was a week long. It was 6 days, and then they had a Sabbath at the end of it. And it was a party. It was a celebration. Still is today. But they had something in Jerusalem specifically that they called the Simchat Beit HaShoveh, which means the rejoicing in the house of water drawing. That's what it was. It was a water festival. And so I stopped to tell you this, that when did Jesus stand up to say this? At the water festival. And they would celebrate. Every day they would go down and they would sing, and they would go down to the pool of Siloam, which was way down at the bottom of the city of David, and they would draw up water. And they would bring it up. Josephus says in the days of Gamaliel that or Gamaliel, that he would also light torches and throw them up in the air, 7 torches, and then catch one. And I don't know if anybody ever got burned from that, but that was his tradition. But it was a big deal. And then they would go all the way up. There was a path. There was a stepped path all the way up to the Temple Mount, which was like 1/3 of a mile away, and singing and dancing and playing the timbrels and all of this stuff. And then they would celebrate, and then they would pour the water out. It was kind of like a Lord, be the Lord of the rain this year. I don't know if you know this. In Israel, they have to pray for rain. We don't really in Oregon, although we had a long spell. But in Israel, it just rains twice a year. And so when it rains, you have to catch it. You have to store it up somehow. But so they would pray for it, and they would celebrate this as the Lord being the Lord of the rain and the Lord of the water. Okay, when I tell you what Jesus is about to say during this festival, it's all going to make more sense now. So it says, at the last and greatest day of the festival, the water drawing festival, Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. That's the promise for today. Could you imagine him getting up and shouting that on the big climax of the water? Just as they're ready to pour out the water, he says, if you really want the living water, come to me. And then it says in the story, and by this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Upon that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not been glorified. There's a whole topic in that in the Gospel of John that I'm not even going to get into a whole lot, other than we understand that by the water flowing from within us, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. He's talking about the Spirit of God in us. And on hearing his words, some of the people said, surely this man is the prophet. And others said, he is the Messiah. And so Jesus says this. He says, if anybody is thirsty, anybody thirsty this morning, I'm not talking about thirst for water. You know, you can bring something to drink. There's a reason that the floor is this color. I call it coffee-colored concrete. It's intentional. I've been to churches before when right on the front of the room where we come and listen to somebody talk, it says, no food or drinks in this room. And I thought, why would we ever want people to be uncaffeinated? Well, they're going to sit and listen to somebody talk. I said, this is the time that sitting, listening to a preacher is the best time to have a cup of coffee in your hands. Anybody agree? By the way, if you want, there's still some out there. Feel free to go, come back. You can get your cup or bring your own from home, whatever it is. But I never understood that rule. So hence the floor. If you spill, that's okay. Just rub it in. It adds to the patina. It's just kind of part of the look of the whole place. We want this to be well lived in and well used. We want it to be a place where we can come and interact. Amen. And Jesus says, if you come after me, if you believe in me, he goes, my Spirit is going to be like streams, like rivers of water flowing from within you. You notice how he says that? Oftentimes when we think of the Holy Spirit, we think of something that flows to us. But Jesus is talking about his Spirit as something that flows through us, something that flows out of our lives. So it not only comes to refresh us and to renew us, but it also comes out of our life to bring refreshing and renewal to people that are around us. Amen. So what I said, I just want to read it again, because what can I add to what Jesus just said? But let's just devote on it for a few minutes, can we? The first thing he says in the first step, obviously, if you're going to come and have that fountain open up in your life, first thing you need to do is know who the fountain is to connect with him. You know, I believe in every single human being because we're all children of God. We were all created by him and for relationship with him, that there's a part of us that longs for a relationship with our Creator. Is that you? I mean, that's why you're here, isn't it? Other than somebody made you, it's probably true that some of you were forced to come against your will this morning. But even if that's true, there is a part of you that was created to have a relationship with the one that created you. Some preacher, and I don't know who it was, but invented the phrase that each human has a God-shaped hole in their life, that there's a hole there that can only be filled up by the Lord. And people try to fill it up with all sorts of things. They have a general lack of fulfillment in their life, general dissatisfaction, an itch that they can't scratch, a hunger that can't be filled. They try it with a lot of things, with activity. Some try to fill it with money. Some try to fill up that hole with work. Some try to fill up that hole with pleasure or even with drugs and alcohol. They chase after all sorts of things to fill up that hole. And the more they try to fill it up, the more empty it feels. Why? Because there's only one thing that belongs there. There's only one that can bring that satisfaction. Isaiah 55 prophesied this. Oh, I skipped it. Oh, man. I need to bring my glasses. Isaiah 55 prophesies this. It says this: "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost." The prophet is drawing the people of God back to a relationship. He's saying, you've been wandering in the desert too long. You've been wandering around looking for something to satisfy you, looking for something to fulfill you. But why would you go and buy something that's not food or pay money for something that's not drink? Anybody with me so far? Not to give my wife's testimony, because she could tell it so much better than anybody else. But, you know, when she came to know the Lord, it was just, by the way, a couple of years before I met her. And she had grown up now in church. And it's possible even that you could grow up in church and never have a relationship with the Lord. She grew up in the Catholic Church, and she was a good Catholic girl. And she even went to an Assembly of God youth group for a little while when she was younger. And her parents were in charismatic singing groups at times. And so, you know, in the Catholic Church, you grow up hearing the Word of God, hearing about Jesus, hearing about the Lord. And she was serious about Him, too. At one point, she considered becoming a nun. I'm so grateful she didn't answer that call. Thank you, Lord Jesus, she didn't become a nun. But, well, it's true. It's why I'm not Catholic, by the way. I like having a wife. But she was serious about the Lord, but didn't know how to have a relationship with Him. Finally, she's a young adult in her 20s, and some of her friends from the Foursquare Church invited her to be to a Petra concert. Anybody remember Petra? They were a rock and roll, Christian rock and roll band back in the 70s and 80s. Awesome. I remembered them from the 80s. That was my favorite era. Molly was more of a 90s Petra fan. But I remember even when I was going to youth group, youth pastors and preachers on a regular basis would get up and thump their fists and say that nothing good will ever come of Christian rock and roll. You know, you can't preach the gospel and play it with devil music. And they were against it. Every Christian concert I went to, I almost felt like I was sneaking out of the house to do something that was unapproved. That maybe that's what attracted me to it, but I don't think so. But these preachers would have to get up and spend about 15 minutes in the middle of the concert and put down their guitar and get a Bible out and start reading scriptures from the Psalms about playing the drums and banging the cymbals and shout to the Lord and all this. This is not contrary to scripture. They said, we're just singing about Jesus with a different beat. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Some of you remember those days. If you were one of those preachers, I forgive you. I know it was what was done back in those days. And I tell them, because some of them are still my friends, they say, what good is ever going to come from Christian rock and roll? And I say, she's sitting right over there. Because she got invited not to go attend, but she got invited to be a chaperone. That's a sneaky way to get somebody to come, right? They invited her, and she goes, well, sure, I'm a Christian. Because she was. She had grown up in the Catholic Church. And so she went to this concert. And can you believe it? At the end of the concert, Josh McDowell preached. Now, if you don't know who Josh McDowell is, he's one of the most prolific evangelists of my generation anyway. And just great at doing it. I mean, I'll never be a closer like he is. He just had a way of wording it where everybody wanted to come down to the stage and get saved. And at the end, he said something like this. I've heard Molly tell it so many times. Sorry to steal your story, by the way. Next time you preach, you can't. You can tell it your way. But he just said, you know, there's somebody out there that's there's something missing in your life. And you know who you are. You might even believe in Jesus. You might even believe in God. But you know, there's just something missing. And what is missing is a relationship with Him. And if that's you, why don't you stand up and come down to the altar and let's pray about it. And before she knew it, something compelled her to stand up and start walking down. I mean, it was just like that. It's like the Holy Spirit just drew her down. And all her friends look at each other and they came down and they prayed with her. And here she's kind of embarrassed because she's supposed to be a chaperone on this thing. But, you know, she knew that even though she had some form of religion, there was something missing in her life. It was her relationship with Jesus. Friends, Jesus says, if you go to buy something else, if you go to drink something else, if you go to drink from the water that's not genuine, he goes, it's going to leave you thirsty. But if you come to me, if you come and drink from me, if you allow my spirit to come into your life and be a part of you, you're never going to be thirsty again. Isn't that amazing? There are some things that we get from our relationship with the Lord. Did I get most of that right, Molly? There's always something I got wrong, so I just always check. But there's some things that we can only get from Jesus that we can't get anyplace else. And so at one point up in Capernaum, Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he was talking about, I am the bread that comes from heaven. And everybody said, yay, Jesus, you're the bread. And they said, you know, and I am the one that gives you new life. Yay, Jesus. And then he says, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no part of me. And they said, wait a second. That went, is this still a metaphor? Please tell me it's still a metaphor. And the Bible says a lot of the people left because it was too hard of a teaching. It was just kind of taking it a step too far. And Jesus looks around. And by the way, I love that story. As any time part of my evangelist wants to think that the only sign of a good preacher is that more and more people always come. There were some times that Jesus preached and chased the crowd away. And so he looks around at his disciples and he says, do you want to leave too? And Peter looks at him and he says this amazing thing. He said, you do not want to leave too, do you? And Jesus asked the 12, and Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. You have the words of eternal life. You're the only one I can come to. There's no place else. There are a lot of other great teachers. There's great musicians. There's great entertainment out there. There's a lot of different places that we can try to fill ourselves up. But there's only one Jesus. There's only one Jesus. And only his word can fill us up. Only his word can give us what we need. Anybody say amen? Say amen. The second thing is, first, not only do you come to the fountain, but you drink from the well. And let me tell you something. I've been walking with the Lord for most of my life, and no matter how much you draw from him, he never runs out. It's a bottomless well that never runs out. And we need that, don't we? We need a source inside of us that never runs dry. We need a source of strength and encouragement that's not just going to fade with time, that every time we come back to it, it's always, always there. You know, what's interesting to me about the pool of Siloam, where they would draw this water and bring it up to the temple, is it was a man-made pool. So not only does it only rain twice a year, but natural springs and rivers are fairly rare. They're not everywhere. And Jerusalem is a hilltop city. And so in order to get water up there, you had to go up the hill and get water that was coming from a spring that was called the Spring of Gihon and divert it and bring it into the city. Because obviously, you know, they don't have PUD. They don't have city water. They had to get it from some unnatural source. And one of the problems was the Assyrians came down and laid siege to Jerusalem in 700, and then later on, in about 722, they came back down. And Hezekiah, who was the king at that time, decided if we don't bring the water inside the city, they can cut off our water on the outside, and we're not going to have any water supply. So he dug a tunnel. Next time we go to Israel, and I'm thinking about starting to plan that trip back again, got canceled for COVID, but I want to go to the Hezekiah's tunnel. Because it's a modern wonder. Like I said, it's about a third of a mile, and from one end to the other, it drops 10 inches. So picture that. And they dug it from both directions. We know because we found an old stone sign that talked about the guys chipping from both sides to get to the middle. They dug it from both directions, curving under the city, and then it met in the middle. And that water brought water, or excuse me, that tunnel brought water from the top of the city down to the pool of Siloam. And so they were celebrating something that was not only God's gift of water to them, but it was also a symbol of their protection. Follow me in this. That they had a source of water on the inside that nothing the enemy did on the outside could take away. How many need that kind of source inside of them this morning? In fact, there are a lot of people, and I'm one of them. I can't prove it, but I think this psalm was kind of alluding to this pool. It says, there is a river who makes, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She shall not fail. God will help her at the break of day. And so when we have Jesus in our life, we have a source that can never be cut off. And why would we look to an imitation when we can have the genuine article? And so he says, streams of living water will flow from within him. You know what living water is? It's not only a great metaphor for the living spirit of God, but living water in the language is water that moves. And so the opposite would be stagnant water, like a pond or a pool or a man-made well, something like that. That's stagnant water. Living water is a stream or a fountain or a natural spring. Something that's moving and something that always stays fresh is living water. And Jesus says, it's not just, I'm not going to give you a glass of water. I'm going to give you a river of water that's going to come out through your life, that's going to always keep you fresh, and it's always going to keep you alive. How many could use something of a fresh breath from the Holy Spirit today? A little bit of living water from him. I'll never forget the first time I had real mountain water. You know they sell it like that. You know the water you buy in the bottles? Have you ever noticed they always put a mountain or something like that on it? They call it glacier water or whatever. And it's not, it's out of some tap and then they ran it through filters. You know that, right? That it was the same thing as what you get out of your tap. And they just put it over filters and stuff in some factory. And then they put a mountain on the sticker. Have you ever had real mountain water? Yeah, I had a youth pastor that would take us hiking when I was in junior high. And we would go up into the Goat Rocks or up around Mount Hood. And we didn't take bottles of water with us. We just took a cup. And when you get up there and into those high mountain rivers, you see it just came out of a glacier. And then it's been running over the rocks. That's kind of filtering it, by the way. Running over the rocks, and it's getting purified as it goes down. And it's cold, baby. It is so cold. Sometimes you can even see that the glacier's right over there. You put your cup down in there, and you take a drink out of that mountain water. I'm going to tell you, you have never tasted water until you've gotten it from the source. How many have ever done it before? Anybody? Now you've got a bucket list thing to do. Isn't it amazing? It's like nothing else. You said, I didn't know water tasted like this. It's amazing. First of all, it doesn't taste like anything because there's not chemicals and all that kind of other stuff in it. Have you ever read the ingredients of your water? Isn't that strange that water would have ingredients? Not up in the mountains. It's the pure source. And so some people are content with stagnant water or water out of their tap. Some people are content with the Word of God that's just been filtered through a bunch of other people's opinions. Some people are content with just listening to Christian radio or just reading Christian books. But friends, why would you get something that was artificially created when you can go to the source? When you can go to the actual thing? When you can drink right from the stream? Don't let anybody else have your relationship with Jesus for you. Your relationship with Jesus is between you and him. And he can fill you up. He can teach you. Anybody say amen? Say amen. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Christian radio or books or all of that kind of stuff. Honestly, friends, there is nothing greater than just allowing the Holy Spirit to feed you from his word and having a relationship with him. There's nothing like getting it straight from the source. And so Jesus told the woman at the well that when he started preaching the gospel, he answered, would you say this with me? He said, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. A spring of water. And so wouldn't it be great if we could just go tap into the source? Amen. A few years back, I was up at Camp Crestview, and the pump on the pool went out, which meant it couldn't filter. And me and another friend, all week in the basement of the pump house replacing this pump and fixing it so that the kids could swim. And it didn't get fixed until the day after we left, so the camp after us could swim, but they got the benefit of our work. But we had to drain it to some extent in order to work on this stuff. And I said, how in the world do you fill this thing? I couldn't imagine getting a hose out there. Could you imagine how long it would take you to fill up a pool with a hose? And they said, well, we've got a secret source. What? He says, right on the edge of the property, there's a fire hydrant. I said, and the fire department has given us access to it. I said, I have to see that. The coolest thing in the world. How would you like to have your own fire hydrant? If you're going to go fill something up, quick, fast, and in a hurry. That's how it gets done. Tap into your own fire hydrant. But friends, when it comes to having a relationship with the Lord, you don't have to go to the faucet. You don't have to get the hose. You have the fire hydrant access. You have the ability to go to Him one-on-one and say, Lord, just fill me up today. It's not just a little trickle. He's got everything you need. All you need to do is just go and pour your heart out to Him, and He will pour His Spirit out upon you. Amen? The last part is let the river flow. So Jesus says, if anyone believes in me, as Scripture has said, streams of living water will do what? They will flow from within them. In the Greek, it says they will flow out of their heart. But that's another metaphor for the inside of me, from the center of my being. The Spirit of Christ will flow out. Which direction? Out. So it flows to me, but it also now flows through me. I'm convinced that what he's talking about is not just the fulfillment that we get from having a relationship with the Lord, but also now once he's poured out his Spirit upon us, that we get to have an impact on other people. That what he gives us is something that we can hand off to somebody else. You say, well, Pastor Mike, I'm not a preacher. I'm not an evangelist. You don't have to be. You just have to be the genuine article. Just be another brother or sister who's had their life changed. Say, I don't know what to preach. I don't know where to start. Start with your story. If someone ever asks you about Christianity or about why you go to church, you say, well, I don't have all the answers, but let me just tell you what he's done in my life. How many has Jesus done something great in your life? Has he made a difference? Tell somebody about it. Just open up your heart and be honest. It doesn't have to be a perfect testimony. You don't have to exaggerate how horrible you were before it happened. But just be honest and say, listen, I'm not a perfect person, but let me tell you what Jesus has done. He's just made all the difference in my life. I can say that without any shadow of a doubt. If you ever see anything worthwhile or good in me, it's because Jesus in my life. He got a hold of me. Someone introduced me to Jesus at camp when I was a young kid. And I've never been the same. It's changed my life. He has saved my life hundreds of times. And he has picked me up when I've been down. He still does it. He fills me up when I get dry. And why wouldn't I want to share that with somebody else? Man, it's the greatest gift you could ever give to somebody. So don't ever be ashamed. Don't ever feel like you're being judgmental. You say, well, I don't want to beat people up with religion. Good, don't. That's not what I'm talking about at all. I'm talking about just sharing the love, sharing the light, sharing the good things that Jesus has done in your life. And because your testimony is different than anybody else's, you have a story that is unique to only you. You know that? Your path, the way you came to the Lord, is unique to only you. And there's somebody out there that needs to hear your story. Maybe my story isn't what's going to convince them. Maybe it's not going to be Doug's story or Molly's story that is really the thing that's going to unleash whatever it is that's blocking them up or keeping them from coming to know the Lord. But you have a testimony. You have a broken path. You have a messed up history. You've been redeemed from something that nobody else has been redeemed from. And there's somebody out there just like you. And they need to hear that story. They need to know what it feels like to have been abandoned or have been abused or been rejected or to have failed or to have something blow up in your face that wasn't your fault or whatever it is. And yet God got a hold of you and changed your life by grace. There's somebody out there that needs to hear that story. Open up your heart and let the river flow. Let the river flow. Let the Holy Spirit flow through you. His work in us. Anybody say amen? Say amen. His work is not complete in us until we share it with others. And so the prophet Joel and Peter said this on the day of Pentecost. He quoted from it. But he gave us this great promise. He said, "And afterwards, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions." It says, "Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days." Sorry, I just gave you the next verse. But what he was promising was this. You notice, it's not just men or women. It's not bound by gender. How anybody ever thought that only men could share the gospel? All throughout the Bible, women have been leading and talking and prophesying. That it's not bound up by age. You're never too old and you're never too young. It's just something that can come out through your life. It's not bound up by your social status. That's why he says, even on my servants, that he's going to pour out his spirit in the last days. When are the last days? They're the days we're living in. These are the days that he's pouring out his spirit. And so why would we hold it back? Amen? To just allow the Lord to move through you. I kept thinking of a movie clip or an illustration that, and I just kept thinking of one that I'd shown before, but I just couldn't think of another one. And so watch this for a moment. Tell me if you can't relate. The three amigos. I wonder what people think of when they pass by our church. I wonder if they think, wow, I'm so grateful that church is there, or I never wanted to be a church where everything we do is for the church. That everything we do is for us. That we come and we have church services to encourage us, and then we pray for us. And then we have potlucks for us, and then we have workout classes for us, and that everything we do is just kind of serving the church. It always seemed to me that a church that just serves itself is like a self-licking lollipop. It only exists just for its own good. But Jesus put us right in the middle of this town so that we could make a difference. You know, when people come up to us and they're thirsty, I honestly believe that. They have a God-shaped hole and they're thirsty. They're unfulfilled. They're looking for hope. They're looking for life. And when they come to us, we're just drinking it all, throwing it on the ground, because it just never occurred to us that somebody outside of these walls, somebody that isn't yet coming here, is the one that needs this message today. If you come this morning and you say, "I don't really need this message today. I'm doing fine. I'm walking with Jesus. Everything's fine." But who is it around you that needs to hear? Who is it that needs to hear that message? And so God says, if you believe in me, streams of living water will flow from within here. We can be a resource to everybody that is around us. The book of Revelation, the last chapters in the Bible, ends with a vision. It's a vision of heaven. It's a picture of it, but it's more than that. I believe that book isn't just prophesying about what's going to be held up for us in eternity, but it's also a picture of what the church is supposed to be. It's a vision not just of the eternal church, but it's a vision of what we're to be in this life. And he says, and then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. And he has this picture, and it comes from all the Old Testament prophets. But out of the middle of the city, when the presence of God is, and so the city of God is supposed to be the people of God, that's you and me, and out of that flows the water of life. We are to be like a life-giving, we are to be like a fountainhead. Jesus is our source, and we're the ones that are supposed to open up the floodgates so that everybody can know about him. I pray for things like tomorrow night, like the harvest party, that that's what it would be like. That somebody would come, and even just one or two people, they came because their grandma invited them and they have little kids, and so they want to come and bring them to a party. And as they walk around, they run into people and they just begin to realize that they've been thirsty for a long time and that they need something else in their life. Would you join me in that prayer? That just even just one family tomorrow night comes. And so that means you and me, we need to come like full sponges. We need to just come and be ready to love on people and reach out. Somebody that we don't recognize. And I know we're not doing anything haunted. We're not doing anything scary. But you know there's going to be some Draculas tomorrow night, right? You know there's going to be some little Frankensteins or somebody, people with fake blood or whatever. It's just fake. You know, that's kind of an American thing. You know, actually, churches used to do stuff like that. But, you know, we're not going to judge them for any of that kind of stuff. Are you with me? We're just going to love them. We're going to love them the way they are and love them without strings attached and just shine the light bright tomorrow night, because God really has given us an open door to be a resource to people in our community. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I just prayed this morning that if there's even one person here today that's just feeling a little dry, that's just their cup is running low, their strength and their energy is just waning. And I just pray right now that you would fill them up. Lord, fill them up to the full. Fill them up to four bars, Lord God. Give them your strength on the inside that'll never run out. Lord, keep filling them so that they can have so much that they just pour out on other people around them. And Lord, may we just all be encouragers and never forget that maybe we're doing okay, but somebody in that store, somebody that we run into this week, needs encouragement. And so, Lord, may we just be full of your Spirit as we go from this place today. And can I ask, if you're here in this place, even if there's just one, when I shared Molly's story, maybe that relates closer to you than you want to admit. Maybe you grew up in the church. Maybe you've known a lot about God, but you know there's something missing. It doesn't matter if it makes sense to anybody else. You don't have to explain it. You don't have to apologize for it. But you know there's something missing and that you need more, that you need that relationship with Jesus. And nobody's going to embarrass you, but we're going to stand in a moment and pray together. But if that's you and you want to make that invitation to the Lord today, say, Lord Jesus, come into my life and fill me up today. If there's even just one like that, would you do something brave and look up at me for a moment? Is there anybody like that? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'll wait for just a minute. Don't be embarrassed. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise your mighty name. Friends, would you stand with me just for a moment, if you're able to, and grab somebody's hand next to you, and let's pray together, can we? Hallelujah, Lord. Pray with me. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my life today. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and pour out your Spirit so that I could be a blessing to everyone around me. I give you my life today, everything that I am and everything that I have is on the altar before you, and I give you all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a clap offering today. Just praise him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Lord bless you. Have a great day. I'll see you tomorrow night, and make sure you sign up for Harvest Party on the way out the door. Okay, Lord bless you.